Good morning, brothers and sisters. Earlier in the week, as I was praying and meditating over these Sunday readings, I wasn't getting anything particular to preach on. You know, I thought of different topics and I just didn't really feel it in my heart. I wasn't moved by anything. And as the week progressed, I was getting a little more nervous. Usually I have something by midweek. But the Lord kind of kept impressing on my heart, don't worry, I'll give you something. So on Thursday, I just made something up, just kind of came up with some random idea because I wasn't getting anything from the Lord. And then, as you know, on Friday, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice, passed away. And I think that was what the Lord was giving me, in a sense, to direct the homily around this event in our society at this time. I think it's quite significant, and it brings out a lot of the messages in our readings this day. One of the first things I did after finding out about her death was go on various news outlets, you know, both conservative and liberal, and just look at various articles that they wrote. And all of them, at least initially, talked about her great legacy, right? The wonderful justice that she sought in her career, especially on the Supreme Court. And I was a little shocked and certainly disappointed, not so much by the liberal media, but by the conservative media, that they would say ultimately the same thing. Because when we as Catholics take an honest look at her quote-unquote legacy, not only is it not just, it's not true. It's not based on truth or goodness or any proper moral teaching. The greatest legacies that she has left us are, well, she would say, and many would say, women's rights. Well, what kind of women's rights? Contraception, abortion, and then to go further, homosexual marriage and LGBTQ ideology. These are the great things that Ruth Bader Ginsburg has left us. Now, again, I shouldn't pick on her alone. There are others on the Supreme Court who supported those same things, and we should have just as much an issue and a problem with them as with her. But she's, of course, the one in the news because of her passing. And so we take a look at her life, and I want to share with you something that I have been praying for the last year. I have been praying for a happy death for her. I've been asking the Lord to take her quickly so that hopefully, again, this is my personal opinion, I'm not giving church teaching, that a conservative president, who Trump is certainly more conservative than any of the liberal parties right now, would be able to elect another conservatively minded, traditionally minded Supreme Court justice. So I was praying for a happy death. You know, like, she's been sick, right? She's quite elderly. I wasn't just praying that she die, that she keel over and die and get out of the way. I wanted her death to be holy. I wanted her to die repentant. That's what we hear in our first reading today from Isaiah, our Lord emphasizing once again his profound mercy. And he does it by saying that my ways are not your ways. It can be difficult for us to understand how merciful God can be. When we take a look at her legacy, at what she has left in this country, because the Supreme Court ultimately is the most powerful body in this country, they decide on what is true and what is false, based on their own opinion and view. And many of them don't believe in objective truth. Like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She didn't believe in objective truth. Truth was subjective. And we should worry for her soul. As Christians, we should care about the souls of everyone, not just our own. And so if we take a look at the things that she supported and taught and defended, that contradict the very gospel teaching of Jesus Christ. Fundamental truths, basic, even natural law truths. So how could she stand up for justice? Now, if she repented before she died, the Lord in his mercy, he would forgive her. And that's where we get into the gospel message today. When we hear this parable from our Lord about the last being first and the first being last, we who have striven to follow the Lord for many, many years could get jealous of the salvation of someone like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We get to heaven and you're like, wait a minute, Lord, you remember her career, her legacy? How did she get in here? She converted at the fifth hour, you know. She didn't work as long as I did. And the Lord says, are you jealous because I am generous? Our Lord desires that all would be saved. And if he can save someone, he will. I don't think there's anything wrong with praying that God take someone out of this world and their life. He is the God of life and death. It is his decision ultimately. The Bible gives us many examples of this. The Israelites praying that the Lord wipe out their enemies. There are many types of enemies. But we always pray that they die virtuously, in whatever manner the Lord would want. With the life that she lived and the ideas that she defended so vigorously throughout her entire life, imagine if she died unrepentant and was standing at her judgment. Now, she's already been judged, right? She passed away on Friday. That's it. She went before the throne of God. She's judged. She is now in heaven, hell, or purgatory. We don't know. But when she stood before the Lord at her judgment, it's too late to repent. The moment your body dies and takes its last breath, your soul is now irrevocably and eternally conformed to its final beliefs. So there's no changing. So when that soul goes before the Lord, especially if it's unrepentant of a life of rejecting the gospel truth, and when it's presented with living truth, God himself, our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When it comes face to face, in a sense, with truth, it can't convert now. It can't repent. And since it has rejected that truth during its whole life, it's going to reject that truth in its death. And what will the pronouncement of our Lord be upon such a soul? What will his judgment be? Well, that soul doesn't want to spend eternity with a God it disagrees with. And God would not force that soul to come to heaven. And so, out of justice, he would send it to a place where it doesn't have to focus or look on truth. And there's only one other place. It's hell. That's why I pray that she had the grace to repent before she died. It's the same prayer I offer for all of you. And we should continue to pray, not just for her soul, you know, she could be in purgatory, but to pray for everyone on the Supreme Court and all government officials, all those in power, because their judgment will be far more harsh than the rest of society, than the average American, because of their influence and their authority. And we have a responsibility then to try to help them with our prayers and our sacrifices. to receive the grace of conversion, and ultimately, like ourselves, to come to accept our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.